And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm still Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up. So please keep that pencil or pen handy, because you could do something with this information. It's really true, folks. Let's move back into animal news, all right? From Albuquerque, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has taken steps to begin relocating two family groups of Mexican wolves into the Gila Wilderness area of New Mexico. The members of one group, recaptured after troubled reintroduction efforts in other areas, were moved into a soft-sided acclimation pen, where they will be held for the next 30 days. Relocation of another family group is planned for the end of March. These family groups of Mexican wolves, known as the Mule Pack and the Pipestem Pack, were recaptured in 1999 and early this year after preying on livestock and have been awaiting suitable relocation sites. Both groups have pregnant females. Relocating the wolves before the females give birth will promote wild behavior in the pups and increase the likelihood the wolves will remain near the release site. The Gila Wilderness was chosen for relocation because it contains extensive areas of roadless forest, free from human habitation and without active cattle grazing allotments. Placing wolves in the remote Gila Wilderness will reduce conflicts, killing, and overall program costs, and will increase the wolves' chances for success, said Craig Miller, Southwest representative for the conservation group Defenders of Wildlife. It is clearly the best course of action. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has received more than 9,000 public comments since announcing the relocation plan. Unfortunately, they both support and oppose the plan. We appreciate all the interest and participation in this issue, said Nancy Kaufman, Southwest Regional U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Director. We are confident that having a flexibility to translocate wolves into the Gila Wilderness will enhance recovery of this magnificent native species and help to minimize management conflicts. And a Stark, Wisconsin man, convicted of shooting a timber wolf, has been fined and lost his hunting privileges for a year. Richard Kosmarski was found guilty in an Oneida County court on February 20th of unintentionally shooting an endangered animal and fined $1,079 by default when he failed to appear on the court date to contest the charges. The wolf was a radio-collared male that had been trapped on a deer farm south of Hazelhurst in early May and had been released from the Nicollet National Forest. Kosmarski said he shot at what he thought was a coyote when it crossed his land May 16, 1999. Adrian Wideven, an endangered resource biologist, says the fine was justified because DNR officials determined that under the circumstances, the shooter should have been able to identify his target. This was a large male wolf that no one should have mistaken for a coyote, Wideven said. The animal weighed 82 pounds and stood 33 inches high at the shoulder. The fine was greatly reduced because the shooter confessed to the violation, but the department is committed to investigating illegal killing of wolves, and if a violation has occurred, it will be prosecuted. Timber wolves are listed as a threatened species in Wisconsin and as a federally endangered species. State law prohibits the sale, disturbance of killing, or killing of listed animals or parts of them without a permit for scientific or educational purposes. And state conservation wardens and wildlife officials are investigating the shotgun shooting of two endangered trumpeter swans in Wisconsin. The swans were recovered in late February near the junctions of State Highway 78 and County Highway H in Dane County, Wisconsin. According to the Department of Natural Resources, conservation warden Dave Wood, one swan wore a neck collar that identified it as having hatched at Crex Meadows Wildlife Area in Burnett County in 1994. From swans released through Wisconsin's Trumpeter Swan Reintroduction Program, the other swan was not collared or banded, so officials were unable to determine its origin, said Sumner Madison, who coordinates the Trumpeter Swan Program for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Endangered Resources. It would appear this was an intentional shooting, as their waterfowl and other hunting seasons go on when these birds were shot. I guess there were no waterfowl or... Madison said the intentional shooting of a swan can result in fines and restitutions exceeding $5,000. Hunters found guilty of shooting a swan can lose their hunting privileges for up to 3 years. Besides reintroducing trumpeter swans, Wisconsin fishing officials have also been studying their migration habits. State endangered resources biologists have learned that trumpeter swans from Wisconsin have migrated as much as 600 miles last winter. Transmitters on neck collars allowed satellites to track the swans' migration paths and wintering locations. If you have any information about this shooting, phone the conservation warden Dave Wood. His phone number is 608 775-3468 or a toll-free Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources poaching hotline at 800-847-9367. That's 800-847-9367. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has released the long-awaited final environmental impact statement on grizzly bear recovery in the Bitterroot ecosystem. Please express your support for Alternative 4, created by the Alliance for Wild Rockies and the Salmon Selway Grizzly Coalition. This common-sense habitat-based approach is endorsed by leading grizzly bear experts, including John Craighead and Dr. Charles Jonkel. It is also supported by seven labor unions throughout the region. The church groups, nearly 40 Western economists, the Confederated Salish Kootenai tribes, the Missoula County Commissioners, that is, and more than 200 conservation groups and business owners, it is equally important to oppose implementing Alternative 1. That's the citizen management proposal. Allows killing, I presume. While it appears that the government has made up its mind in favor of the Roots Plan, that's Alternative 1, it is still vitally important that you submit comments. Your comments have already made grizzly recovery in this area possible and have been a strong voice for full protection of habitat essential to bear recovery. In addition to voicing your support for Alternative 4, other important points to stress in your letter include that the recovery zone must be expanded to incorporate key bear food habitat types to the north of the recovery zone. Those are extensive bear-producing shrub fields, and to the south of the recovery zone in mixed white bark pine stands. The government should consider experimental essential population status as a reasonable alternative. This is different from the proposed alternative calling for experimental non-essential status. For experimental essential populations, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service may designate critical habitat and could institute Section 7 consultation proceedings under the Endangered Species Act. The Citizens Management Committee structure may smother bears in a politically appointed multi-layered bureaucratic snarl that contains several delay mechanisms that could prevent correct management decision-making. Please insist on a habitat linkage corridor between the Greater Salmon Selway Bitterroot ecosystem and other bear populations, and insist on the recovery zone identified in Alternative 4. Here's where to send your comments. Dr. Christopher Servine, that's S-E-R-V-H-E-E-N, Grizzly Bear Recovery Coordinator, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, P.O. Box 5127, Missoula, Montana 59806. Once again, comments on the final environmental impact statement on grizzly bear recovery in the Bitterroot ecosystem of Montana is Dr. Christopher Servine, S-E-R-V-H-E-E-N, Grizzly Bear Recovery Coordinator, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, P.O. Box 5127, Missoula, Montana 59806. And those public comments will be accepted through April 24th. There's an email address. Send your email comments to fw6_bitterroot@fws.gov. That's fw6_bitterroot, B-I-T-T-E-R-R-O-O-T, at fws.gov. Want more information? Contact the Alliance for the Wild Rockies at 406-721-5420. That's 406-721-5420. Email to awr@wildrockiesalliance.org. Or you can go to www.wildrockiesalliance.org on the web, and they have all the links you ever need there. All right. We'll skip that real long story because we want to get through some of this stuff here. The Rocky Mountain Animal Defense has filed suit against the state of Colorado for failing to protect prairie dog poisoning. That's prevent prairie dog poisoning. According to RMAD press releases, the suit names the Colorado Division of Wildlife, Department of Agriculture, Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife Commission, and Governor Bill Owens of Colorado as defendants, and charges that these agencies and officials have violated the state constitution, which prohibits indiscriminate poisoning of wildlife. For more information, contact the Rocky Mountain Animal Defense. Their number, 303-449-4422. That's 303-449-4422. And Kiko, remember the Free Willy? Well, the star of Free Willy, Kiko, the killer whale, has made an important progress recently toward his potential reintroduction to the wild. The gate between a floating bay pen, his home for the last 18 months, and the larger enclosed Kletsvik Bay in Iceland was opened, allowing him to swim almost free. For the most famous whale in the world, this move marks a major milestone, allowing Kiko to experience the natural open ocean environment for the first time since his capture in Icelandic waters more than 20 years ago. Kletsvik Bay, a body of water the size of 20 soccer fields, is enclosed by a barrier net, and this is the first attempt to reintroduce a captive orca to the wild. If you want to get more information, go to www.oceanfutures.org. That's www.oceanfutures.org. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is working to dismantle or alter some of the thousands of dams blocking rivers across the country to aid dwindling fish stocks. Restoring fish passageways is one of the most effective things we can do to increase fish populations, and we've made some impressive progress, said Kathleen Short, chief of the Fisheries Division of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We've really only just begun. Whether we take out old dams altogether or help notch dams or build passages around them, we're helping a species of fish make its comeback. There are about 75,000 dams built 6 feet tall or higher, and some 2.5 million smaller obstructions that now block or impede fish passage in the United States on their waterways, and are a principal reason for the dramatic decline of migratory fish. Larvae, juvenile, and adult fish are often unable to reach spawning or rearing grounds in this year. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has nearly $1 million to pump into fish passage projects in 7 watersheds in 12 states, removing 4 dams and other impediments, and restoring access to more than 1,000 miles of habitat for fish and other aquatic species. Last year, the program completed restoration projects in 14 states, and they've got way more to go. After a 5-year battle by environmentalists, the Mexican government and the Mitsubishi Corporation have announced they have canceled plans to build the world's largest salt plant in the middle of a gray whale breeding lagoon. The project, situated in the heart of the last pristine breeding grounds for the California gray whale, had drawn opposition from scientists, Hollywood stars, government officials, and Uncle Dennis. And more than 30 endangered and threatened sea turtles have washed up dead or dying along the Texas coast. An international conservation group, the Sea Turtle Restoration Project, says the deaths demonstrate the continued failure of Texas Governor George W. Bush, Republican candidate for president, to protect endangered species in his home state, let alone around the country. One sea turtle was found with a hole drilled in its shell, and green shrimp fishing net passed through the hole and tied in a knot. Another was found with its hind flippers missing and a rope tied around its front flipper. Many others were found missing flippers or heads, which the Sea Turtle Restoration Project indicates intentional violations of the Endangered Species Act. 5 of the 30 stranded sea turtles were adult Kemp's Ridleys, the most endangered sea turtle in the world. Biologists say that these breeding-age sea turtles were probably preparing to nest. Mexico has protected a Kemp's Ridley nesting beach, but there are no such protections in Texas. Unlike other sea turtle states such as Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina, Texas does not participate in sea turtle recovery, does not employ sea turtle biologists, and does not fund any sea turtle projects. If Bush reached the White House, what would happen to critical programs to monitor and save these universally popular creatures, asked Terry Shore of STRP. And Bush has consistently refused to take the advice of sea turtle experts and increase protections for Kemp Ridleys and other sea turtles in Texas. This is not the environmental leadership I imagine most Americans would want to see in the White House. And 2 Arizona men have been charged with the killing of a Mexican gray wolf found dead 16 months ago in the Apache National Forest. Wolf number 493, a female member of the Hawk's Nest Pack, was discovered shot to death near Jim Smith Peak on October 18, 1998. James Michael Rogers, 21, and an unnamed juvenile have been charged with multiple violations of the Endangered Species Act and a Lacey Act violations in federal court. Rogers faces potential penalties up to $100,000 in fines and a year in prison if convicted on the Lacey Act, and $25,000 and 6 months in prison if convicted on a violation of the Endangered Species Act's special rules. And in Sacramento, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed critical habitat designations for 2 California species, a snake and a shrimp. Court orders in a lawsuit by the Center for Biological Diversity and Christians Caring for Creation led to the proposals for the threatened Alameda whip snake and the endangered San Diego fairy shrimp. Seven areas, in California's Alameda, Contra Costa, Santa Clara, and San Joaquin counties, comprising over 407,000 acres of scrub grasslands and oak woodlands, have been proposed as critical habitat for the Alameda whipstake. And about 36,500 acres have been proposed as critical habitat for the San Diego fairy shrimp, a small vernal pool crustacean unique to Southern California. The decline of the fairy shrimp echoes an alarm about the disappearance of the distinctive wetlands we know as vernal pools, said Ken Berg, field supervisor of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Carlsbad, California office. These pools are one of the most endangered ecosystems in the United States, with more than 90% have been eliminated from Southern California. And a settlement between the U.S. Forest Service and a conservation group, the Center for Biological Diversity, will provide increased protections for more than 50 species of threatened and endangered animals and plants in four national forests of California. The settlement includes specific provisions to protect individual species, such as local road and campground closures, bans on cattle grazing, and a ban on the use of ethyl glycol-based antifreeze in U.S. Forest Service vehicles. To protect endangered California condors, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service agreed to install anti-perching devices on communication towers within the species' current range and to mandate that all new power lines within national forests be made bird safe. And seven native California plant species have been listed as threatened or endangered. The Santa Cruz tar plant, right here from Santa Cruz, California, an aromatic annual herb native to California's central coast, has been listed as threatened due to habitat loss, cattle grazing, and competition from non-native plants. Two varieties of purple amole, a native plant found only in Monterey and San Luis Obispo counties. The Carmata Canyon amole has two populations, one on private land and another partly on private land and partly on Los Padres National Forest. The La Graciosa thistle, the Nipomo Mesa lupin, the Lompoc Yerba Santa, and the Gaviota tar plant were all listed. All four species are restricted to coastal areas in northern and western Santa Barbara County and southern San Luis Obispo County. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has withdrawn a proposal to list the Pecos pupfish as an endangered species because of a conservation agreement developed by state and federal agencies in New Mexico and Texas that will remove or reduce threats to the species' survival. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposed to list the pupfish in 1998, citing habitat loss from damming of the Pecos River and excessive pumping of groundwater, which caused springs and sinkholes to dry up. Under the conservation agreement, pupfish populations on lands administered by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Bureau of Land Management, and the New Mexico State Parks in the Pecos River Basin will be protected by fish barriers to protect habitats from the invasive sheep's head minnow. And both New Mexico and Texas have committed to banning the use of sheep's head minnows as bait fish in the Pecos River. And another western fish, the Great Basin Red Band Trout, does not need federal protection, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife says. The decision was based on populations rebounding after the end of a seven-year drought and the establishment of habitat-preserving conservation agreements with private landowners and land management agencies. The red-band trout lives in parts of Oregon, California, and Nevada. Ta-da! The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has listed the Canadian lynx in the contiguous United States as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. The agency included a special regulation that allows for the take and export of lawfully obtained captive-bred lynx. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service concluded that the threat to the lynx in the contiguous United States is the lack of management and guidance to conserve the species in current federal land management plans. Well, that's good news. Canadian lynx in Alaska are not affected, however. And eight whales beached and died soon after the United States Navy conducted anti-submarine exercises off the northern Bahamas, but the Navy claims there is no evidence to link the whale deaths to the exercise testing sonar detection of submarines, but the incident prompted an investigation and calls for the end to such exercises. And in 1996, the National Marine Fisheries Service proposed to protect the wild steelhead of the Klamath Mountain Province in Oregon and California and Northern California under the Endangered Species Act. But in 1998, the National Marine Fisheries Service ruled that these two evolutionarily significant units, or ESUs, of steelhead did not warrant protection, even though agency biologists found the fish were likely to be in danger of extinction in the future. Not willing to give up the long struggle to protect the wild summer and winter run steelhead of the area, the Siskiyou Project, sports fishing organizations, and other conservation groups represented by Earth Justice filed a lawsuit against the government in early 1999. In February, at a critical juncture in the lawsuit, the National Marine Fisheries Service again proposed a list of the Northern California Steelhead ESU, but not the Klamath Mountain Province Steelhead. We need your help. It is essential that the National Marine Fisheries Service hear from lots of supporters of the Endangered Species Act to protect these irreplaceable wild steelhead. Please send a letter before April 11th making these two points. One, we strongly support the proposal to list the Northern California Steelhead ESU. The species is declining, and state efforts to conserve these wild populations are inadequate. The National Marine Fisheries Service should have listed the group 2 years ago, which is why sports fishing and conservation groups had to sue. Critical habitat should be designated at the time of listing. And for the same reason, the National Marine Fisheries Service should also list the Klamath Mountain Province Steelhead ESU as a threatened species and designate critical habitat. Not only have state efforts been inadequate, but efforts by National Forest and BLM lands under the Northwest Forest Plan are also flawed because the plan has not been faithfully followed. Once again, please send your letter by April 11th to Chief, Protected Resources Division, National Marine Fisheries Service, Southwest Region, 401 West Ocean Boulevard, Suite 420, Long Beach, California, 90802. Once again, that address for your letters is Chief, Protected Resources Division, National Marine Fisheries Service, Southwest Region, 401 Ocean Boulevard, Suite 4200, Long Beach, California, 90802. And efforts are underway at the Golden Gate National Recreation Area to protect a colony of rare bank swallows. The migratory birds, as their name suggests, build nests in burrowed holes in suitable banks along rivers and beaches. There is a colony in the Fort Funston portion of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, which is threatened by continuing erosion of the bank that they nest in. The Funston bank swallow colony is one of only two remaining on the California coast, and only one of four from the Bay Area southward. Most California bank swallows breed in the Sacramento River Valley and are declining there also. They are a listed threatened species under the California Endangered Species Act. One of the possible causes of the erosion are activities such as off-leash dog running and cliff climbing in the area. An organized group of dog owners has vociferously asserted their desire to have access to the entire area for recreation. The bank swallow area occupies only about 3% of the fort. Dog owners have sued the Park Service and have obtained a temporary restraining order. Meanwhile, this past week, park personnel rescued a dog stuck on a bank of a cliff on Fort Funston. The dog was situated approximately 70 feet below the cliff edge. A ranger was lowered down the cliff to the dog, and both were safely deposited on the beach below. There were 11 dog rescues in 1999 at Fort Funston. Signs have been posted and information distributed, but, well, that's all the time we have for news. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email to cruzef@cruzio.com. That's cruzef@cruzio.com. Or you can send letters to Earth First Radio at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send all those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you want more in-depth news or information about the Earth First movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address is P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Once again, that's the Earth First Journal, a really good read. P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. And you can listen to Earth First Radio on your computer. We're on the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. You'll need a sound card in your computer, but the software you need to play the MP3 files is free on the website. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Please ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Portions of this newscast were prepared with the help of Eon Blues. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild, I'm Uncle Dennis. I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And now we're going to listen to Daryl Cherney. This one's called Arizona Power Lines.
To our time, and he travels through the desert on the Arizona power lines. Mark Davis and Mark Baker and Margaret Millett too, they looked up at those towers, oh they knew what they must do. Oh, ain't it grand out in the desert with a blowtorch in your hand. It all come crashing down on you, you know. Now the FBI was watching, so they sent in Michael Tate, a phony Vietnam veteran vowed to guard the fascist state. Well, he won their trust and friendship, to his flaws they all were blind, till those flares lit up the skies above the Arizona power lines. In your hands. Oh, take it slow. It could all come crashing down on you, you know. They arrested Dave Foreman. They said he was behind the scheme. Well, they jailed the founder of Earth First, but they did not stop the dream. So should you walk at Abby's desert and see a little flame that shines, don't you say a prayer for the next to dare the Arizona power line.